Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
My name is Eduardo Borges. You may know me as Ed Borges, and began my journey here and service at Houston Baptist University in 1999. Started off in the admissions office working for enrollment management, where I served in various capacities. I started as an admissions counselor and then held different posts. My last post there was as director of undergraduate admissions. Served in admissions for 16 years, and I received a call from the president's office. Dr. Sloan at that point envisioned creating a new department, one that was called the Office of Special Projects, and he asked if I would be its maiden senior director. And when the president of the university asks you if you want to lead a department, you say, yes, sir, and you embark on this new role. And so that's exactly what I did. I started working as assistant to the president and working in special projects in 2015, and was there for 5 years, and then was asked by Dr. Sloan to serve in the provost's office to provide support and advice to our newly appointed interim provost, Dr. Stan Napper, who previously had been the dean of the School of Engineering when it was started here. He was the inaugural dean, and then went on to be the dean of the Merge College of Science and Engineering. And so Dr. Napper was asked to be the provost of the university, was voted unanimously so, and then put in his name in the hat to become the permanent provost, and I was asked to serve as his assistant. And we worked together for an entire academic year until such time he was appointed the permanent provost, and he asked Dr. Sloan if I would be released to serve as the assistant provost. We worked very well together, and we did within that year a lot of things. There was a lot of reorganization, and he felt that I was very supportive in that process. And so was asked to serve as the assistant provost of the university. So this to me has been an amazing experience. I love Houston Baptist University. Received my master's degree from here in 2012 in liberal arts. And have enjoyed every minute of it. I've often asked myself why I'm serving in particular roles. I've never gotten tired of what I've been doing, but I've asked, as many of us do, for direction for the Lord on next steps and future projects. And every project that the Lord has had me serving on has been to edify me and to teach me new things. So when I was in admissions, I got to work with all of the students in the front end of the process, right? So as students apply to the university, we got to meet with them, we got to know the different areas of town and outside of the state where they come from, and that was a great learning experience for me. I felt like I got to know the university better by my time in the enrollment management area. Then working for Dr. Sloan in the president's office on special projects, we got to learn so many new things. We got to work on projects that entailed study abroad opportunities, working with veterans, creating cultural experiences. We've taken groups of students to southern China, to Manila, Philippines, to Hong Kong, and Israel. We've gotten to work with strategic marketing and taking the university tours to Israel. That's been a wonderful success, and every year it's gotten even better. And so I was involved with that. I've gotten to work closely with the advancement office and Sharon Saunders and her leadership, and was instrumental for me in learning about donor relationships and donor development and interacting with friends of the university, which for me has been a wonderful, wonderful experience, but yet all the time asking myself, Lord, why do you have me in this role? And then most recently in the provost's office, right? And so once again, I asked myself, because typically when you work in the academic side of the house, you usually start your career as an academic and you work on different degrees and you hopefully get a terminal degree. And so I've asked the Lord more than once, and so I came to this conclusion, and it is this, that the Lord has been preparing me for such a time as this. I really feel like this has been my Esther 4:14 moment, because I've been able to bring to my current role all of the experience that I've amassed in different departments on campus. So in enrollment management, interaction with the students has served me well, working with student life, an area I now oversee, and working in the development office with Sharon Saunders and Dr. Sloan has prepared me to work closely with friends of the university that have a true passion for students and how to connect them with processes and initiatives that we're doing here on campus. And so I really do believe, and it's interesting how God really kind of reveals himself to us through experiences. And I really do feel like he has been preparing me for such a time as this.
Ed, it's amazing what's happening at HBU right now. I mean, give us just a praise report of Houston Baptist University, fall 2021.
Jerry, where to begin? I mean, it's such a vibrant time at the university to begin with, as far as the student side of things. We have the largest freshman class we've ever had. As of yesterday morning, we had 805 registered, deposited students who were here on campus. That's amazing. That's a true testament to the hard work that James Steen, Dr. Steen, and his area has been able to do in enrollment management. The enrollment management division works extremely hard on campus, and I wish more people knew what their day-to-day was like. Calling students, interacting with families, talking to folks about the wonderful things that we can offer here at the university. So admissions through the roof, home runs left and right. And then housing. We, as you know, we have the capacity for about 1,026 beds on campus. As of this morning, we had 955 students living on campus, and we're calling students who are on a wait list. We are busting at the seams. And this is God's providence. We've never been as full as we are right now in housing. The experiences that we have had leading up to this moment with move-in and welcome week have been amazing. We keep on hearing from campus friends, students, that this has been the smoothest move-in we've ever had. Under the leadership of Mr. Gio Arellano, who is a graduate of the university, has been working for us for 7 years, and is currently the interim director of housing, has done a beautiful job so far. Everything is going really, really well. Our biggest issue right now is, where are we gonna put people that are waiting to live on campus? So those are two big things. And then on the academic side of the house, another side of what I do, it's a different hat that I wear, is I have the privilege of working in the provost's office. I can tell you, Jerry, that our provost, Dr. Stan Knapper, moves very quickly. And he has made so many changes on campus for the better. He has realized that there has been a need for reorganization, and so therefore we now have a reinstituted, we've had it before, it went away, but we brought it back, a student affairs area. And the student affairs area is an umbrella that oversees four different areas. One is residence life, another is student life, then there is student success and student testing and accommodations. And so those four areas are under the student affairs umbrella, an area I'm proud to serve with, that reports to the provost's office. That reorganization has already caused some sparkle. And we have seen the buzz within the campus community about the newly reintroduced student affairs. We're creating an environment, and I'll be super candid with you, Jerry. We want student affairs to be the best place to work for on campus.
That's awesome.
We're already seeing that. We've gotten lots of praise from the campus community, but it doesn't stop there. The library, we're doing some changes there too. We, as you know, we redid the first floor of the library, and the first floor of the library, through the very gracious donations from the Looper Foundation and from others, AT&T Group, the Cullen Foundation, was revamped. We moved the books to the second floor because we heard our students, and our students were saying, as we have now seen at other universities as well, that they wanted the first floor of the library and the library in general to be a place where they could come and grab a cup of coffee. Gone are the days where you get shushed in the library. You remember those days, Jerry, you couldn't even. And students want to go in and grab a cup of coffee and study with their friends and be able to talk and create groups and write on the wall. So as a result, we have a whole wall that's dry eraser board, and that's happened. But what the campus community doesn't know yet is that we are also going to do the same transformation on the second floor. And under the leadership of the newly minted Dr. Tristan Fernandez-Cable, who will oversee this new area, she has now been promoted to a new position. She had been working most recently in our Academic Success Center, overseeing our tutoring area and other things, doing very important work. She's now gotten her EDD, and so she has been promoted to Associate Dean for Student Success, but within the Student Success area, I should say, but she will be Associate Dean for Academic Support and Resources, and that is what we're going to be calling the new library area. And she is already well underway. She'll be working with the librarians. We have a fantastic group of librarians on campus. And the second floor is her target now. So we're gonna do with the second floor even cooler things than what we did with the first floor. So Jerry, when students go into the library right now, it is gonna be unlike anything they've ever seen before there. It's gonna be revamped. It's gonna have resources that they haven't had before. Technology that will be at their disposal. And you know, we already have some really cool things. You can actually check out a laptop if you don't have one. You can do that. You'll be able to do that on the second floor now. Flat screen TVs that will be broadcasting information that students will be able to use. We're going to enhance our interlibrary loan system. We're a small library, and therefore one of the challenges that we have is providing students and faculty and staff who are doing research and are also teaching with the periodicals and the subscriptions and the books that they need. But now we are enhancing our interlibrary loan services, which was already pretty robust. And so if you go into the library and we don't have a book that you're looking for, we'll get it for you and you will have it within a very short amount of time. And that's the world we're living in, right? You go home and
Amazon.
Amazon. My wife was who, by the way, also works here. My wife, Mai Borges, is a student success specialist assigned to the College of Arts and Humanities, so she gets to work with our arts and humanities students. But she ordered something the other day in the morning, and it was in our house in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Has that happened to you before?
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So those are just some of the things that we're doing that are really, really great, but I think the philosophy that we're taking in student affairs, the area that I'm specifically working in and with, is making it the best it can be, but not only for our internal audience, but more importantly for our students.
You know, and that is an absolute win-win. I mean, wow, record 2021, unbelievable. Thank God for it. When you think about student success, it is so cool that when a student comes to HBU, they're not marooned or just survival of the fittest, figure it out, we don't care. The exact opposite's done. I mean, break down, if you would, for a minute, the student affairs division and what all is, and we must also acknowledge what I love about Provost Knapper is he has such a passion for spiritual engagement. We have an upcoming Life Action event in November 2021. Just so awesome to see a man committed to academics who also knows the irreplaceable value of kids experiencing a deep relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I think it's the number one priority on his list is the living, learning community walking hand in hand with spiritual development on campus. And I think if we do something very well here at Houston Baptist University is coupling those two things together. And so he has made it a priority. We've taken that charge and we have permeated everything that we do in student success and student affairs with that principal philosophy. But student affairs, I'm so happy. I'm probably grinning from ear to ear right now just because I'm so excited about everything that we're doing. But Jerry, I'm glad you're sitting down because what I'm about to tell you would probably, you know, knock you off your feet. Not really, because it's so simple, Jerry. We are committed to putting the student first. Mm-hmm. We would not exist, student affairs would not exist, and I would argue none of us would exist as a university if we didn't have our students. We value our students. We have amazing faculty and staff on campus, world renowned. I mean, I shouldn't go down the list of starting to name people because I won't get them all. But oh gosh, you know, Craig Evans and, you know, Nancy Piercy and others. I mean, there's so many people that we have on campus that attract some of the best students in the country. We are going to match that caliber with the services that we provide and the facilities that we provide here at the university. You know, Jerry, there's one thing I know about you, and that is you like excellence as well. We've had some conversations where I've found out that we were both fans of Steve Jobs and what he was able to do with Apple Company and Corporation. What you might not know about me is that I am a big fan of Walt Disney and what he was able to do with the Disney Corporation. Disney Company consistently every year ranks among the top, if not in the top three or four, of companies that are the best to work for, but more importantly, provide the best services to their guests. And I say that intentionally. I did not call them visitors to the park or clients. I called them guests. Mm-hmm. Because Disney got the concept of treating the guests to the park as their number one priority, and they do that better than anyone, I think, doing it right now. Right. So I've spent some time in my career really kind of learning about what that process was like, what the philosophy was like, and so I don't know if you're familiar with this concept that Disney calls the popcorn empowerment. Have I ever talked to you about that, Jerry?
No, I've heard about it.
Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit more about it. Disney believes in this concept, and with every new employee, they take great care in making sure that they understand the company culture, dynamic, ethos, and so they illustrate their customer service philosophy, guest service philosophy, with this illustration. And it is that a little boy and his parents are in line for the It's a Small World ride. You've heard about it. You've been there probably with your family. It's the ride that you can't get the music out of your It's a Small World. You can't get it out of your head for a couple of weeks after you've been in the park. As you know, Disney has very long lines for this ride, and this family is sitting there, and dad just comes from the popcorn stand. He's bought an $8 bag of popcorn. He gives it to his little son, and the little son drops the bag of popcorn. Well, of course, he starts crying, and mom's kind of fussing at him. So is dad. Well, why did you drop it? Dad is saying, well, we're not getting out of line to get another bag of popcorn. In the midst of all of this, the closest employee seeing all of this happening is a park services employee. You know what park services employees do, right, Jerry? They're the ones with the brooms and they're cleaning the park. He has nothing to do with this, seemingly, but he stops what he's doing. He immediately goes to the nearest popcorn vendor. He says, I just saw a little boy drop a bag of popcorn. Give me a bag of popcorn. The bag of popcorn is given to him, no questions asked. He comes over, he walks through the tumult that is happening, and he gets on one knee and he says, what's wrong, little boy? Dad answers for him, he dropped his popcorn. Mom's already distressed, the little boy is also, and he kind of gets close and says, I saw that you dropped your popcorn. Guess who else saw that you dropped your popcorn? Mickey. Well, of course, the little boy is excited. He looks at him in his eye and he hands him the bag of popcorn. Everybody is rejoicing. The little boy is just beside himself. That family has become a Disney loyal family for the rest of their lives. Jerry, how much does it cost Disney to produce that bag of popcorn? Just take a wild guess. They charge $8 for it. How much does it cost them to produce
maybe
it?
Maybe 10 or 15 cents.
30 cents.
Mm-hmm.
It cost Disney somewhere along the lines of 30 cents. For 30 cents, that park employee knew that he could make a difference in the experience. And so my point with the popcorn empowerment is we all know that our best resource, our most precious resource, are our students.
Absolutely.
We should be empowered to make small decisions, mid-level decisions that will impact their stay here at the university, their time here at the university, their experience. And so that is the philosophy we're taking in student affairs, is that if we see that we can make a student's experience the best it can be without passing the buck to a different department. Gone are the days of, Jerry, go over here, then you get ping-ponged around to a
right.
different area. We're taking care of the issue. And that's the philosophy that is permeating all of student affairs. If we can take care of the issue with the student, whether it is a student affairs issue, student life, student success, accommodations, residence life, we're taking care of the issue for the student so that they can go about the business of having the best experience possible here at the university.
I totally agree. You know, ethnic diversity has been a trademark of HBU, and it's a beautiful thing to me when you look at the racial unrest across the country to come back to Houston Baptist University and just see the unity and the harmony that we are made up of different races, and yet there is no conflict. And this was dramatic to me during Hurricane Harvey, in just so many expressions that were done by men and women throughout our city. Speak for a minute about the ethnic diversity at HBU and
yeah.
just how well our students, as a family, because they often use the word family when they, you know, 220 podcasts later, I've heard one word more than any other of it when I've asked, what's HBU been like for you? They use the word family, singular word, family. It's a very powerful word, endearing word. Talk to us about that aspect.
Claro que sí, Jerry. Te puedo hablar acerca de la diversidad cultural que tenemos aquí en la universidad. I answered in Spanish
right.
because I want to highlight the obvious. You're talking with the assistant provost at Houston Baptist University who happens to be of Venezuelan descent.
Right.
It is providential, I think. The fact that Houston Baptist University is located in arguably the third or fourth most diverse, largest city, most diverse city in the United States is not by happenstance. We have such a unique opportunity here to spread the gospel, to share our faith commitment, our mission and vision for the love of the Lord, and that Jesus Christ is the center of what we do here at the university, unlike any other university. You could go to universities that are in Central Texas and East or West, mm-hmm. and they will not have the diversity that we have. So you very wisely have highlighted the fact. In fact, I'll tell you a somewhat amusing anecdote. When we go to professional conferences around the country and there are how to make your campus more diverse breakout sessions, we can skip that session because we are reflective sure. of the multiculturalism that makes up the fabric, ethnic fabric of Houston in particular. So that is a tremendous blessing, one we don't take for granted. And every opportunity that we can to interact with students of different ethnic backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, it is literally a melting pot here on campus of different races, diversity. And we, I believe, are doing a great job of attracting also faculty and staff that look like our students.
Yes.
That's a priority
right.
for the university. And it's one that I think we are making great strides in. It's wonderful to go into a classroom that looks like the United Nations. You know, you step into
yeah.
any one of our
and
classrooms.
That's the and, business world you're primarily gonna enter.
Yes.
If you do anything significant, Yes. Outside of, you know, unique circumstances where you might be in a geography with, you know, one or two races, the fact of the matter is the whole picture of America is changing.
Yes.
And I see students at HBU equipped, ready, and trained.
Yes. Another great thing is that one of our, and a great opportunity is one of our largest growing groups of students is our first-generation students, the first in their family to attend college or university. And also, one of the fastest-growing groups of students are Hispanic students. You know that we've taken several groups of students to the southern part of China, the Fujian province, specifically Xiamen, a small village 30 miles south of Xiamen called Shishi. They call it a village, but it's a city unlike any city you've seen.
Right.
And it was interesting. Our first time taking students there, we assembled a group of 12 students. One of those students was a young lady from Laredo, Texas, Alexa Benavides. She was the first in her family to go to college. She's now graduated from here with a biology degree and is hopeful that she'll get into medical school, well equipped for that. Her first time getting on an airplane was a 19-hour trip across the pond to the other side of the world. HBU made that happen. Through the gracious sponsorship of a university friend, Mrs. Esther Wong. She has been such a wonderful friend of the university, supportive of our students, of our mission. And on another day, I'll tell you more about Mrs. Wong and what the great things that she's done for the university and is planning on doing as well. But just the Lord is working in amazing ways in all of our students. Students who didn't know the Lord before coming to school here, many of which were maybe other religions, but just by virtue of their interaction with faculty and staff, learning about Christianity through the lens of a student here at the university. By the way, Jerry, we don't force anybody to believe in anything particular here at the university. All of our classes are taught with love, with care, and from a historical perspective. But how wonderful it is that every year we hear of opportunities where students have come to profess their faith for the Christian faith because of their experiences here at HBU. We're very proud of that.
Ed, we have parents and grandparents listening who are thinking about HBU as their school of choice. Can you look in that camera and tell them why you really think they need to start and end with HBU as the choice university?
I don't know of any other way as a parent to say this in a different way than I'm about to explain it this way. My wife and I have two daughters, a 15-year-old named Nicole and an 18-year-old named Ashley. Ashley started here at HBU 2 days ago. It was her first day as a freshman. I would not want my daughters to attend any other university. And if that's probably put too plainly, then so be it. But the care, the small classes, they're growing. We're growing as well. But the personalized attention, the care that we have for our students, the love that we have for our students, I've been able to see in my 22 years here is unparalleled in many places. And so as parents who are considering where to send their children and as students who are considering where to attend college, there are great benefits to coming to Houston Baptist University. It affords you the opportunity to stay close to home. For parents, there's no bigger blessing than being able to have your son or daughter come home for the weekend if they live on campus, which we would like for them to do. Or if they're sick, you can go and care for them, or they can come home. If some students will say they'll go home just to do laundry and just to be cared for by family. And so it really is an amazing place. We are growing. We are building new buildings. The Morris Family Center for Law and Liberty is already being built. It's going to be a building that resembles as a replica of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. It will be amazing. It will be the only replica of its kind in the country. There's one in Knott's Berry Farm, but it's not to actual scale. Ours is. And so we will have students coming from all over the southern region of the United States to visit a building at our university. We have Division I sports. That's also uncommon for a university our size. Through the visionary lens of Dr. Robert Sloan, our president, who one of the first things that he did was that he got with all of the faculty, staff, alumni, board members, and one of the things that he kept on hearing was, we want to compete in Division I sports, and we have done that, and we have excellent teams, soccer and baseball, softball, basketball, men's and women's, beach volleyball won our conference last year, so every sport that we have competes at a very high level. So we are a gem here in your backyard, and so as you consider options, please do not overlook Houston Baptist University. I think you'll be sorry for doing that.
Ed, we want to thank you for being with us. What a gift you are to HBU, your family, your life. We are so grateful for the love of Christ that flows through you and the skill with which you do what you do. Thank you so much. I mean, I know so many people are grateful to God for the efforts you put forth here at HBU. HBU can be your school of choice. And remember, visions like this don't happen without a few people. We call them angels. They just realize that strategic giving is kingdom impact giving. And could there be anything that could change the trajectory of this nation better than young people trained, thoroughly educated, a distinct Christian worldview that go out and change the world? It took one Daniel in Babylon, and we have literally hundreds, a few thousand here at HBU. Make you part of HBU and your giving plans. You can learn more about hbu.edu/student affairs. hbu.edu, check out all the offerings. Our admission office is available to you to answer every question you have. Ed, thanks for being with us, man.
It's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Look forward to it next time.
God bless you.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.